In the last episode of Higher Branch, I discussed the sources of stress that are common to all of us. In particular, I discussed 8 emotional stresses, so you can identify your stress. That way, it can help you eliminate your stress. In today's episode, I will be discussing the techniques, 16 in particular, that will help you adapt to stress, manage stress, so you can get on with life. I'm Sam McCool, and welcome to A Higher Branch. Hello and welcome to today's episode of A Higher Branch. If you are new to our community, first of all, welcome, and take your phone out and hit the subscribe button because I don't want you to miss any future episodes that I have coming up. And if you are an existing listener of A Higher Branch, please do me a favor by giving us a review and a rating. If you like these episodes, please share it also with your friends. And by giving us a rating and review, you will help me boost the rankings on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and that will help us reach a lot more people, and together we'll be making a difference in this world. So I would really appreciate if you could do that for me. That would be great. Now, in today's episode, I'll be sharing with you 15 tips and techniques on how to manage stress. Now, as I mentioned in the first episode, stress is pervasive to all of us. There's no one on this planet that does not experience stress. And if you're not, it means you're living a small life. You're not putting yourself out there. So stress, in a way, is a positive thing. It means you're doing life. But it's your ability to manage stress, which becomes like little speed humps and obstacles on your road to achieving your goals and dreams. It's how you manage those stresses that really determines your success or failure in life. And we do experience failures along the way. But anyway, today I've curated 16 techniques that I have researched over the last 30 years. And sometimes it is even just one tip that I'm going to share with you, which will have a deep impact on your life. But today we're going to go through 15 of them. So let's dive right in. Now, my first tip, and that's why I said I have 15 techniques, but I also mentioned 15 to 16 in the introduction, it's because the first tip is really not a technique, but it's the obvious, and that is you need to eliminate your stress where you can, right? But where you cannot eliminate it, because there is a difference between stress that we can't control, that's external stress, and internal stress. So what I'm talking about today is not about trying to control the uncontrollables, but more about accepting that there are some stresses you can't control and accepting that you have to manage those stresses. So I'm going to start off with some simple techniques that will help you hit the reset button physically, if you like. And then we're going to go deeper into the techniques that deal with stress at the emotional level, because that's really where the magic happens. And if you become really good at these techniques, you really become bulletproof to external stresses. Let's now first dive into the techniques that will help you reset and take you out of that stress state or the state of fight or flight or freeze, and just get you back to baseline. And then we're going to go deeper. Okay, the first one, which is what I consider an instant reset, is to breathe. That is, no matter where you are, what stress you're facing, and this is a technique that's used by the Army, by the Navy, by psychologists, therapists, in any walk of life, the first technique, the first go-to is breathing exercises in the moment. Now, I give myself reminders every hour for me to hit that reset button with breathing, where I do 6 deep breaths. Now, I do what's called ocean breathing. It's like breathing in the back of your throat. So it sounds like this. Now, scientists have proved that this form of ocean breathing, and in particular where your out-breath is a lot longer than your in-breath, is the quickest way for you to go into a state of rest and digest. So my first technique is breathing. Now, the second technique to hit the reset button and just to recalibrate everything, to neutralize adrenaline, dissipate cortisol, and then replace it with dopamine and serotonin, and that is to move or exercise or walk or cook or clean or mow the lawn, whatever it is that grounds you in the present moment. So I'm going to explain the different movements and its impact on your psychology. So moving is great, and it's research has shown that exercise, especially aerobic exercise when you're stressed, is better than Prozac when it comes to dissipating stress and dealing with depression. So it actually releases a lot of endorphins. So the more you get your heart rate up when you move, the better it is. But there is another technique. If you're a person that doesn't like to get their heart rate up, or you don't want to sweat, or you can't, maybe from physical injury, then the simple act of moving with a purpose, which is why I mentioned walking, cooking, cleaning, mowing the lawn. So let's look at walking. Walking is associated with moving forward. So psychologically, we evolved by walking great distances that achieved something. Either we hunted, or we gathered something, or we reached another village. And that goal and that destination actually released a lot of dopamine for us. So we are hardwired, even when we go for a walk without a purpose, right? Our mind thinks that we're actually achieving something. So we release a lot of dopamine, which is a motivational hormone. So you feel like you've achieved something. So walking is a great tool, but cooking is really good as well. Cleaning the house, mowing the lawn, anything which grounds you in the present moment and gives you a sense of achievement will dissipate your stress. Okay, so that's my second technique. My third technique, very powerful one, is music. Now, music makes our soul dance, right? And when I say music, I also include dancing and singing with music. You look at what our ancestors did in the villages many years ago. And I know I recently visited Lebanon, and in the villages, they still do it. And that is, after they have lunch or dinner, they put music on and they dance and they sing. And there's something primal about that that completely dissipates the stresses of the day. Now, when it comes to music, I know some experts say, well, you got to listen to music that's relaxing. And I disagree with that. And there's a lot of other research that agrees with my approach. And that is, listen to music that you love. So there's no judgment here. If you love listening to hip hop, if you love listening to classical, if you love listening to rap music, if you, whatever it is that makes your soul sing, that makes you feel good, that lights you up, that will help you dissipate stress. And that, along with the first two techniques, is what I use to actually hit the reset button. Okay, let's look at number four. And this is one that I attribute pretty much all of my life's success, and that is have a conversation with yourself. What I mean by that is journal. Journaling has been an absolute game changer in my life, and it's my go-to when I'm feeling stressed at the end of the day. And that's when I write in my reflection page. And that's what replaces my cortisol with serotonin. At the beginning of the day, my journaling technique for the morning puts me in a state where I'm running on dopamine, which is motivational. So because in the morning you need motivation, and at night you need contentment so you can sleep. And that's what dopamine and serotonin do respectively. Okay, my next technique is something that I stack with my journaling in the morning and evening, and that is to meditate. So meditation is detox for the mind. That's essentially what it is. We detox our body, but we don't think of meditation as detox for the mind, where you quieten the mind. And the best way to do that is through relaxation meditation. So I have two types of meditation. One in the morning, which is visualization meditation, which gets you excited for the day. But in the evening, I do relaxation meditation, where it's just focusing on the breath. Now, there's so many meditation apps out there, and the research overwhelmingly shows the benefits of meditation. You've probably heard this a million times, but I'm going to repeat it. It's got to be in your toolbox for dealing with stress, and it should follow movement. So my morning rituals, which will be in the course, the free course that's coming up, And my nightly rituals is movement, meditation, journaling. Movement, meditation, journaling. But meditation cannot be ignored. Everyone from Lewis Hamilton to Ray Dalio credit meditation as the secret to their mind's performance. So if you want to know a simple meditation technique, and in fact, I did a podcast on this last year, and we'll put a link into it because I included some meditation, a guided meditation in that. But it's basically just sitting or laying down with one of your hands on your stomach and the other hand on your heart. And then noticing, closing your eyes, doing three deep breaths, preferably the ocean breathing, and then noticing all the sounds around you, then shutting out the sounds and then focusing on the breath. And then basically every time your mind wanders, you return to the breath. That's all meditation is. And if you can do that from anything between 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes, you will go into a state of relaxation. Whether you think you can or not, it just automatically happens. The main thing is to persist until you feel it happening. Now, for me, that sometimes takes 5 minutes. Other times, it takes me as long as 20 minutes. Okay, so that's the fifth technique. The sixth technique, which is something I do during my journaling, is to go into a state of gratitude. Now, this pretty much is the antidote to the two imposters that trigger our stress. And that's what I discussed in the last episode. And that's where we focus continuously on what we don't have and fall prey to that comparison culture on social media. And the second imposter is where we take the beautiful things in our life for granted: our partner, our family, our work, our clients, our own beautiful qualities, the fact that we are alive, the sun shining, the clean water. There's so much to be grateful for if you focus on it. So this has to be in your toolbox as well, where you just sit down. Now, in my journal, and this will be in the free course that's coming up, right at the beginning of every year, I write down the high-level things that I'm grateful for. And I always return to that when things get really tough or when I get really stressed and sometimes I get lost. And we all do that in a day filled with regrets or grudges or resentments. And gratitude basically neutralizes all those things. It just dissipates them. It's absolutely like magic. And research shows that 10 minutes of reading your gratitude list or writing down the things that you're grateful for that happened simply in the day, it doesn't have to be in your whole life. As I said, at the beginning of the journal, I list all the things that I'm grateful for at a high level in my life. But then daily, I write down the things that I'm grateful for the day, things that happened in the day, the people that added value to my life, the barista that made me a cup of coffee or the book that I read. I give thanks and gratitude for the person that wrote that book, or feeling the warmth of the sun on my skin, or the fresh food I get to eat, whatever it is. Grounding yourself in gratitude really is a powerful reset button for stress. Okay, my next tip is supplements. Now, supplements are not a long-term solution, but like breathing and movement and walking and dancing, it'll help you hit the reset button and give you a few hours of reprieve so you can then dive deeper and get to the root cause of your stress and then utilize the techniques I'm going to share with you later that will help you permanently or at least in the medium term dissipate that stress completely. Okay, so my go-to supplements is magnesium citrate and magnesium bisglycinate because they will relieve your muscle tension, because when we do experience stress, then we get tense. And then that tension then causes us to get even more stressful when we're caught in a negative loop. And so magnesium really helps just relieve that tension. Now, along with magnesium during the day, so I usually take magnesium later in the day when you need to really relax and go to sleep. But in the morning, other vitamins that will help you dissipate stress is B complex vitamins, especially vitamin B6. Now, at night, to help you get a good night's sleep, and that is really the time where you need to deal with stress the most, because if you're stressed and you go to sleep, even if you do fall asleep, it's not a very good restful sleep. Now, I'm going to share with you some herbs that absolutely work for me, and it's incredible because I've tried so many different things in the past, including herbs such as valerian, which for some people I found out can actually give you more energy when you don't want it, right? But at night you want to actually relax and not get a boost in energy. Anyway, so there's four herbs, and when taken together will help you dissipate stress so you can get a good night's sleep. And they are one called Ziziphus, so it's Z-I-P-H-U-S. The second one is Magnolia inner stem bark. The third one is passion flower. And the last one is what is known as California poppy, which is essentially a sedative, but one that does not make you feel groggy the next day. Okay, so that's my seventh tip. Now, the eighth tip is also kind of a in-the-moment reset button when you want to dissipate stress and just get back to baseline, and that is to hug someone, right? Or intimacy. So when we hug someone, we release a neurochemical that's known as oxytocin. Hugging someone, it is essentially about physical connection. A beautiful thing happens when someone gives you a hug. It makes you feel like you're accepted. It makes you feel like you are loved. It makes you feel like you are loving. And those thoughts then reinforce a state of safety and security, because stress sometimes makes us feel insecure, makes us feel like we are out of control. When someone hugs us, it grounds us in the blanket of security. And well, where do you get hugs from? Well, I'll leave that up to you. But if you look at the eight areas of life as a guide, the first person that you should seek intimacy from is your partner. If you are fortunate enough to have a partner in your life, then ask them for a hug. And if that hug then leads to more emotional and physical intimacy, then even better, because it's all about intimacy. If it's a hug from your family member, someone that really makes you feel safe and secure, it could be from your mother or from your father or a brother or sister or a grandfather or a grandmother, then that will also give you that sense of safety and security. Friends are a source of safety and security, especially friends that make us feel confident, or friends that make us laugh, or friends that always are boosting our confidence. And lastly, our relationships come from work. Okay, I know in my office, a lot of team members hug each other. And as I said, hugging and intimacy is such a powerful technique that we underestimate. Okay, so now that leads me to the next technique, and one that's kind of related to hugging and intimacy because it gives you the same feeling, and that is laughter. And so what I do at the end of the day is I always, especially if I'm feeling like I've had a bad day or a little bit overwhelmed and I've gone through all my other techniques, and I stack all these techniques on top of each other until I get into a state of rest and digest. So it's not just one sometimes. I stack all of them, and comedy is one thing that I stack, and that is I watch shows that make me laugh. Like I'll watch Seinfeld. Lately, I've started watching Friends with my daughter, or I'll watch stand-up comedy. I'll watch Curb Your Enthusiasm by Larry David, one of my go-to as well. Basically, anything that has me smiling, laughing on the inside or laughing on the outside. And there's been so much research done on the therapeutic benefits of laughing and smiling and expressing your joy for life. Okay, my next tip, which is also closely related, is having fun. Now, I think we're going through a serious epidemic and we've lost the ability to have fun. And having fun is seriously an awesome technique for dissipating stress. Whenever I go through my techniques for stress and I get to a point where I think it's not working, trust me when I say that when I call friends and then go out and have a laugh with them, I forget what the stress is, and it completely dissipates and neutralizes the effects of cortisol or adrenaline. By the end of my time with friends or having fun, I think, what was that thing that I was stressing about? Because having fun is ultimately about connection. Now, I try and have fun throughout the day, so I don't wait till the end of the day when I'm stressed, because I feel like fun is actually a preventative measure so you don't get stressed in the first place. Now, I want to make the point that you don't need to be happy to have fun. This is an objection I get often from clients that I coach. They say, well, Sam, I'm not happy, so I'm not going to reach out to friends and have fun. I'm going to wait till I'm happy, then I'll have fun. And it misses the point that having fun, then makes you happy. And here's the thing, being unhappy or in a bad mood is really a signal from your body and mind that you need to change something in your life. You need to change your thinking, your diet, your lifestyle, or even change the people you surround yourself with, right? But these changes require effort and time, and having fun should not really wait for those changes to happen. So the shortcut really is to force yourself to do fun things so you can be happy in that moment. And most of us don't feel like having fun when we are in a bad mood. I get that. But that is when we need it the most. Okay, so my next technique is closely related to acceptance, and that is forgiveness. Now, however you define your success, one thing's for certain, you can never achieve it if you are not grateful for the present and have a clear vision for your future. But here's the thing, a vision without current state gratitude only leads to anxiety. And gratitude without a vision for the future inevitably leads to stagnation and sometimes depression. Now, what does this have to do with forgiveness? Well, you cannot practice acceptance and have a beautiful vision for your future if you are hanging on to past grudges and regrets. And you see, gratitude and vision can only be effective if they are felt in your body. And if your body is filled with pain and blame, there's no room to feel gratitude for the present and excitement for the future. Therefore, you really need to release yourself from the prison of your past. And the way to do that is through forgiveness. Because if you are hanging on to these grudges and resentments, it's going to manifest itself in your body. You're going to have tight areas such as your neck, jaw, back, hamstrings, and sometimes more insidious symptoms such as high blood pressure, poor sleep, lower immune function, and an increased risk of depression, and ultimately a significant decrease in energy levels. And when your energy levels are low, that's the most demoralizing symptoms, because it makes it then difficult when you have low energy levels to lift yourself out of a stressed state. So how do you practice forgiveness? Forgiveness does not mean showing weakness or condoning wrongdoing. And you can still forgive someone without excusing their behavior, right? So it's not the same as reconciling, because reconciliation may follow forgiveness, but we can forgive without reestablishing a relationship, right? So it's not based on the other person apologizing. It does not mean forgetting or pretending it didn't happen. And it doesn't mean trusting that person either. Trust needs to be earned. Just know that forgiveness isn't a technique that is absolutely essential if you're walking around with past regrets, grudges, resentment. Now, I've covered the deep techniques. I'm going to get back to some more lighthearted techniques. And one is to get organized. So that's another good technique, especially if your source of stress comes from a cluttered work environment or a cluttered home. Now, there is lots of services out there where they come into your home and help you get organized, label everything, clean everything up. And trust me, it is cathartic. When you get organized, that you'll just notice that, oh my God, I feel so much lighter, because clutter, it's like carrying around a lead weight with you all day. So that's my next technique. Now, my second last technique, and one that should have been boosted right to the beginning of this podcast, where I mentioned breathe, movement, music, meditation. And this one really works. It's simple, and you can add magnesium to it. Of course, I'm talking about a bath. A warm bath 1 hour before you go to bed does amazing things, and especially when you put magnesium or Epsom salts in the bath. Now, if you're lucky to have a sauna as well, that's a great way to dissipate your stress and relieve all the tension that hits the reset button and gives you that temporary relief from stress. But make sure with saunas that you have it 2 hours before you go to bed, because it does heat you up. Okay, my last tip, and that is a super important one, especially when you feel like you're just so overwhelmed with too many stresses, both physical and emotional, and you've tried all the techniques and you just can't seem to get back to baseline, and that is to talk about it. You need to get therapy. There was and continues to be a stigma when it comes to therapy, not amongst younger people. I must say millennials are quick to get therapy. But my generation, Gen Y, Gen X, and baby boomers, there's a stigma attached with seeing a therapist. But you know what? When you find a great therapist, it's incredible how you will feel after your session. So it's talk therapy, essentially. Don't see it as anything other than just conversing with someone who's an expert at dealing with inevitable stress that we are faced in life. We are living in a time of unprecedented change and so much information, bombarded with so many messaging, and the need to do things, or the way it makes us feel about, like, we are not enough, we don't have enough, we don't do enough, is overwhelming. So don't be too hard on yourself. Okay, thank you for listening to today's episode. Now, if you enjoyed this episode and got something out of it, please do me a favor and leave me a rating and a review on whatever platform you're listening to it, whether it's Spotify, Apple, or YouTube, or all the other platforms. And if you know anyone that could benefit from listening to this episode, please share it with them or post it on social media and tag me in it, Sam McCool. I really do believe that when we put good things out into the world and share things with others, good things come back to us. Now, I'm going to leave you with the same message I leave with you every day. Always remember, every morning is the dawn of a new day and your opportunity to start a new life and infuse new techniques and new methods to help you build a better tomorrow. On that note, I hope you have a great day. And as always, live consciously, my friends.